Good evening, brothers, sisters, and young people, and welcome to the 2015 Kentucky Christadelphian Bible School. Glad to have all of you here with us. We come together. Somebody else had something to say, apparently. He'll get his turn one of these days. Maybe not tonight. I think Brother Jason is going to bring us the word of exhortation. Our speaker this evening is Brother Sean Bryan, but our speaker this evening is Brother Jason Hagen, but his title is They That Wait Shall Be Renewed. Brother Sean is going to come forward and lead us in prayer. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just kind of all out of order this evening. Okay. And we're going to begin with hymn number 4. Behold how good a thing it is, and how becoming well, together such as brethren are, in unity to dwell. Hymn number 4, after which we'll ask Brother Chuck Bryan to come forward and offer a holy prayer.
Most gracious eternal Heavenly Father, Yahweh, Lord in heaven, we thank you for this time you've given us to come together this week with those of precious life that study that word of truth, to hear the words of your understanding. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be with the speakers, the teachers this week, with the words spoken and thoughtful. Following ears open for understanding, and we may take away from this Bible school knowledge that will help us live our lives better in thy sight. And Father, we ask for the same return of thy Son to this earth for the reestablishment of the throne of David once more. For that is the day that we truly look forward to. And Heavenly Father, we ask that your grace and mercy would be upon us. You will forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. We are fleshly and weak creatures. We can play vessels. We need you to bolster our faith. And Father, we ask these things and humbly pray to our Lord and Master, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Brother Sean, Jason Hagen will bring us the word of exhortation. His subject is, They That Wait Shall Be Renewed. And he's asked that we just read our theme verse, which is Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So we'll now call upon Brother Jason.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Is that working? I'll bring you greetings from the San Antonio Ecclesia. And I guess we're just all out of sorts today. I had the theme verses being Isaiah 40 and 31, so that's why you see on the board. So anyway, I've been studying Isaiah, and so we're going to do like a word study of this verse here. I used to have a chiropractor that would walk in from into the room whenever he would come to visit you, and he'd shout out life because he thought he was bringing forth life or renewing life. And so that's what this verse is about. They that wait shall be renewed. Now, while a chiropractor as a normal physician will tell you, only bring you temporary relief in to keep going to them over and over again. That's kind of what we do day by day in renewing our minds, or renewing our thoughts of the spirit rather than our thoughts of the flesh. And so that's the end result of this verse that we're going to get to. They that wait shall be renewed. If you see me leaning in, because my font is really small, because it's a super center mode like normal. So I apologize for that. So hopefully this week these words will play into our theme verse of Micah 6 and 8 that was just read, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And hopefully we will shed light on this verse in Isaiah 40 and 31, that we might lose the weight of this world and remove some of the torn and tattered wings that are described in this verse from this world's troubles, and put on new growth this week as we renew ourselves in talking one with another and in studying God's Word. Sorry for the double duty here, so I guess that's right. You have to bring me, have me turn over and catch the other screen back up. Isaiah 40 in chapter 1 says, "Comfort ye, comfort my people, saith your God." So the they in Isaiah 40 and 31 that is being spoken of is God's people. It's not the nations or the world at large, but it's God's people. And in verse 2 it says, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned." So the they that is being talked about is God's people. They that wait, or this phrase, they that, is found 26 times in the scriptures of Isaiah. And it is regarded as an action, or what is it that they are doing? Or what is it that led their actions to bring them about to the place that they were in, that Isaiah was speaking before them and crying out unto them, as all the prophets did, to repent from their ways and turn back unto God. So there are some positive results in Isaiah and some negative results. And we're just going to run through these fairly quickly. They that are in darkness shall be brought unto light. And the emphasis, of course, is upon they that wait. They that wait shall, or they that murmur shall learn. They that wait shall be blessed, Isaiah 30 and 18. Isaiah 37 and 32, they that escape are those that are the remnant, and hopefully we are counted amongst them. Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait shall be renewed. Isaiah 49 and 17 and verse 19, those that have an enemy, their enemy shall be put far away from them. Isaiah 58 and 12, they that are of thee shall build, hopefully build and restore the kingdom. Isaiah 60 and 14, they that despise thee shall then bow down. At 62 and 9, they that were gathered and brought, they shall eat and drink. So this eating and drinking is a reference to the future eating and drinking of the bread and the wine. So the negative results then of they that did something, or those that did not wait, is that they who were forsaken shall be consumed, or those who pursue God. They that were led astray shall be destroyed. They that see doubt shall glory in their own house, or that is, they shall receive that temporal glory of their own house. Then they shall be destroyed, as the previous verses pointed out. They that cast or spread flax, or that is, they that are spreading out their own desires, shall be confounded. The wise are confounded with their own wisdom. They that are leaders, or that are deceptive leaders, shall in and of themselves be deceived. They that are the earth's inhabitants shall be burned up with the earth, for they have broken it down, and it shall consume them. They that pursue things of the flesh for themselves shall be swiftly overtaken. They that go into the pit shall have no hope of the truth. They that are against God shall perish. They that make idols shall be ashamed. They that dwell on the earth shall die. They that rule over others shall be blasphemed. And they that forsake and forget shall be slaughtered. And lastly, they that sanctify themselves shall be consumed. So we listed some positive things for those that wait. And these are the verses that are in particular to the whole phrase, not just say that or that had an action and a result, but these are of all those that particularly waited upon God. And this goes beyond just not the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 8:17, it says, they that wait, or they that respond to God, he says he will listen unto them. 25:9 says, they that wait shall be saved. For chapter 30 and verse 18 says they shall be blessed. In Psalms 25:3, it says they shall not be ashamed. In 25:5, they that wait on thee all the day shall be preserved for me. And 25:21. Psalms 27:14, they that wait shall have their heart strengthened. Psalms 37:34, they that wait shall be exalted, and they shall inherit the land. Psalms 40:1, they that wait, I will hear their cries. Psalms 92:1, they that wait, I will give thanks, or will give thanks and sing unto the Lord. Psalms 92:13, they that wait shall flourish. Psalms 123:2, they that wait with eyes for mercy shall receive mercy. Lamentations 3:25-26, they that wait shall quietly for salvation. Romans 8:25, they that wait with patience for the unseen. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, they that wait for his son and deliverance. And the ultimate result of that, as we read earlier, is that they shall be renewed and blessed. So this word wait has a meaning of twisting or binding together. It's not an inactive action like we would think of the word wait in the English language, but it is very proactive in action. It is nothing but action or constant action. It is not idle, sitting on our cell phones waiting for the doctor or whatever it might be, or with a book in our hand reading. It is actively doing something and thinking upon ourselves and reflection and overcoming the things of the flesh. As noted in the graphic there, if you can read it, it means twisting together or binding together. Now, I don't know how many of you know Brother Donnie Dice in our ecclesia, but he's an elevator mechanic. And he talks quite frequently about binding the cables together, because you never have enough length in a run of cable to go all the way up and back down as many times as they do in order to have the leverage to raise the elevators up and down. So you have to marry cables together. And there's not an exact image for this anywhere that I can find, and he doesn't have one either. So this is the best that we have of marrying rope together. And actually, in his cables, they are seamless, as you can imagine they would have to be. And that is how we must bind ourselves or wait upon God. We must bind ourselves to his word and his ways, and not to the things of the flesh. Or, in other words, be married to it. Be seamless. Be holy as he is holy, as he has instructed us. And here's a list of verses that go along with that. Isaiah 30:18. Wait that he may be gracious unto us. Isaiah 42:4. Wait for his law. And this is the isles that are waiting, or as it is referred to, the isles represent the Gentiles. Isaiah 49:23. Wait that we shall not be ashamed. 51:5. Wait that we might trust in him. 59:5. Wait for his light to shine upon us. Isaiah 60:9. Wait to bring that he might bring gifts unto us. So this waiting, again, is not sitting idle. It is active. So the word wait means to bind or to pierce together, to marry, as they use in the elevator business as a term of binding that cable together. So continuing in that verse, Isaiah 40:31, it says, they that wait upon. So that we're not just actively doing something, but it's toward a certain purpose. It's with a service, or it implies an expectation. So then we might ask, what is our expectation that we are waiting upon? In this world, we hurry and become frustrated or angered whenever our speed is not matched by others around us, and end up waiting on them, or impatiently not waiting upon them and running over them. We have mistreated others for our goals and end up waiting while we have hurt them, other individuals, or run over them. So as it is commonly said, fast is slow, and slow is fast. If you run over enough people, it'll eventually catch up to you. So how we wait, then, upon the Lord is the question here. It calls to mind the story of the 10 virgins. We find waiting upon the bridegroom. That was their purpose, to marry the bridegroom. The brides were waiting. They waited, five of them waited wisely, having prepared and had plenty of oil to burn, while five waited foolishly and had to run scurrying about feverishly to find more. So five of them were married, while five were not. Five waited and received the blessing. So again, this waiting is active and something that we must do before that time arrives. And on the slide is a list of questions that we might ask ourselves. Do we sit idly, or do we diligently prepare? Do we expect idle bliss whenever that time occurs, or do we expect to continue the work that we're doing today in that vineyard? Are we in a hurry, or are we patient? Do we trust in man, or do we trust in God? Excuse me. Do we look for the seen, or do we look for the unseen? What is it that we are taking for or waiting upon for? What is it that we hope for? Do we praise ourselves or do we praise God? Hold on to that last thought till later in this verse, because it'll come back up again. So again, this upon is an action of service. There's 10 verses that contain this exact phrase in it. Numbers 8 and 24, the Levites for 25 years service, plus those who were 25 years and older, were allowed to act or serve in the tabernacle. They served the people. 2 Chronicles 13 and 10, But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron and the Levites that wait upon their business. So it's those who are not forsaken that wait upon the Lord. Psalms 37:9, those that wait upon shall inherit the earth. 59:5, those who wait upon him do so because of his strength and his defense. They believed and saw God's handiwork in the earth, and so they waited upon him. Psalms 123:2, those who wait upon the Lord have their eyes upon him, for his mercy is upon us. Psalms 145:15, again, the reference to the eyes being upon the Lord and his upon us, for the purpose of meat, for strength, which is further down in this verse. Isaiah 8:17, they look for him. Isaiah 40:31, which is what we're focusing on, and we shall be renewed if we wait upon him. Isaiah 51:5, if we wait upon him, his arm shall they trust. Jeremiah 14:2, those that wait upon him, he has made all things available unto them. And lastly at the bottom, Isaiah 26:3-4, wilt thou keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon or waiting upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. So faith, hope, and love, from 1 Thessalonians, is that those who trust, that aspect of love, is those who trust are waited upon the Lord and followed after him in his ways. So waiting is an active present tense, waited is past tense. What happens in the past tense? Psalms 48:1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. So he will hear us if we have waited upon him. Isaiah 25:9. And it shall be said that in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 26:8, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and he remembered thee. and to the remembrance of thee. And lastly, Isaiah 33:2. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou there, our every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. And I'll point out to keep in mind this aspect of the arm extended out, because there's twice in Isaiah where the arm of the Lord is said to be extending out to those who wait upon him or to turn unto him. Even though the nation had turned away or the people had turned away from him, his arm was still outstretched, waiting for them to turn back to him. So they that wait upon the Lord, they'll be renewed. The word renew means to pierce or change. So waiting said to pierce or to bind, and renewing is piercing or changing. And it occurs 6 times in Scripture. And we know that the number 6 is the number of man, and it is also the number of sin. And that it was Christ who was pierced for us, so that we might be renewed or redeemed, and that a change might occur in man. 1 Samuel 11:14. Then said Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. Psalm 51:10. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And Isaiah 40:31 that we're looking at, renewed, we shall have our strength renewed. Isaiah 41:1. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. And that phrase, let us, occurs over and over again throughout Isaiah a lot. Let us reason together. Let us come together. Or strengthen one another so that we might be renewed. Lamentations 5:21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Hebrews 6:6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him in open shame. So this aspect of renewal occurs throughout Scripture, and the emphasis is that we are to renew one another so that we might be renewed permanently or forever lasting. The thing which will be renewed is our strength. There is a common phrase amongst men that the youth, that strength is wasted on the youth. And as I get over 40, I can vouch for that very much so. So there's 2 verses that have this word. Actually, there's lots of verses that have this word strength, but there's 2 that stood out to me. There's 33 of them in Isaiah, and there's many more throughout all of Scripture. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. And Psalms 31:2. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. So this word strength is the aspect of vigor and fruit. The fruit is born out of that vigor, or the fruit that is born out of waiting. Again, not passively, but actively. So whenever that strength is renewed, then we shall mount up with wings. So this does not mean that we shall gain wings upon our death, or that we shall gain wings whenever we stand before Christ, as the modern world believes, but it means that the wings are the aspect of the strength. It says that we shall mount up with wings, or rise up above this fleshly state. So the word mount up means appointed, commanded, or set in a position. It is a change of status, as we pointed out earlier. A piercing and a changing of our flesh to spirit. So this phrase, mount up with wings, occurs a few times in Scripture. Psalms 107:26 is a reference to man. so that they themselves, it says, mounted up with wings, and then they melted. They rose too high to the sun. Isaiah 9:18, they that mounted up with wings were devoured in the smoke. Jeremiah 51:53, Babylon was spoiled. So in all the instances where man promoted himself and brought himself to power or strength or changed in position, God destroyed him, as we pointed out at the beginning. But with respect to God, Job 20:6, through his excellency, mount up to the heavens, and his head shall reach into the clouds. Job 39:27, that the eagles mount up at thy command and make her nest on high. Isaiah 40:31, which we're looking at. And lastly, Ezekiel 10:16. And when the caravans went, the wheels went by them. And when the caravans lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. So all the references to mounting up with wings and respect to God are lifting up or changing nature and state. Now the translators use the word eagle, and I lost some people in San Antonio on this part, so hopefully I don't lose you all. But this transition, the translators of the King James Version use the word eagle, which may not be exactly correct, and we're going to look at that. So it says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And we know that an eagle is a prominent bird of prey. It is very powerful and conjures up mental pictures of strength and might. So if Dave and Y, the translators, use the word eagle rather than what maybe it should have been, which is vulture. We'll look at that in a second. So the wings of an eagle, or any carnivore that's a bird, sheds their wings over and over again throughout their life. But since birds only live to about 30 or 40 years, they roughly do this 3 times during their life, where that they molt all the wings off and then they regrow new ones, which is what is naturally being talked about. So symbolically then, we know that we're to renew our spirit over and over until that time whenever we hope that it shall be made everlasting. But naturally, this renewing occurs through in an eagle 3 times in their life. So we know the number of 3 and its significance throughout all Scripture. And that Christ was 3 days in the grave before he was risen again. And so that is our hope as well. That over the course of our lives, we go through this renewal process roughly 3 full terms before we reach the position in which we stand before our Master and hopefully receive those loving words. I have a whole lot more on this slide, but I'm going to advance ahead, but we'll see. So this eagle or vulture, as it maybe should be translated, which we're going to look at in a second. So the eagles prey upon the living, while the vulture preys upon dead. Or the emphasis from many of the writers that I looked at, the emphasis is on the food that was provided unto them. And one of the things that they pointed out in several different authors said that it may have been this griffin vulture, or the great vulture, from the area of Palestine. Because it is said, metaphorically or in their telling of tales, that this particular vulture would see a mouse from Babylon in Palestine. So it can see much further than all the other birds of prey. And that is also symbolic to us. We should be able to see much further, having God's word in our minds, than all those around us. So what other symbolic reasons might we have for saying that it's a vulture instead of an eagle? Well, if it's an eagle, he is providing for himself. He is seeking that meat. He is killing it naturally. Whereas a vulture, it is already dead, and then he is taking advantage of that. And so God over and over tells us again to wait upon him, and he shall provide. We are not providing for ourselves. Matthew 24 and 28 says, wherever the carcass is, there where the eagles be gathered. So maybe it shouldn't be translated eagles, but rather vultures for the symbolic purposes. Micah 1 and 6, make thee bald and pull thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagles. Well, eagles aren't bald upon their heads. Only vultures are. Job 39:26-30 says, they that dwelleth upon the rock, from there they seek their prey, their eyes behold it afar off, and that their young ones suck the blood where they were slain at, or the slain are. So this is descriptive of a vulture, not an eagle, because the young ones have the carcass brought to them by the eagle, while the vultures go and seek it out. Habakkuk 1:6-8. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards. They are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. So again, the eagle that hasteth to eat, something that is already there, something that they've already slain and is dead, is descriptive of a vulture and not an eagle that we are so familiar with. So back to Isaiah 40:31. They that shall mount up with eagle's wings shall run and not be weary. So the aspect of running is to bring hastily or vigorously, again, waiting, not being passive, but very active. Isaiah 33:4 says, they shall run upon them and gather the spoil. Isaiah 40:31, they shall run and not be weary. Isaiah 55:5, they shall run unto thee because of the Lord. Isaiah 59:7, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. So this aspect of running is something that is with great vigor, is the point that is brought out in these verses. And there are 65 more verses throughout Scripture of running, and we know what Paul gives as an example for us, to run the race, not that we finish the race, but to run it so that you may cross it first, so that you may be the one in the lead. So it is with great vigor that we are to run. So we are to run and not be weary. That is the reward. Or to gasp, to lose air. So if we run and are weary, or without God, or we are not waiting upon God, then we shall lack that breath of air. It shall be taken from us. But if we run and are not weary, then it shall never be removed. We shall never be without breath or lack thereof. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well doing, and if any man obey not our word, by this epistle note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So again, we are to cry out to one another, to pull each other along that path which leadeth unto life. If we run and are not weary, then we shall walk and not be faint. Walking is not the aspect, again, of being something slow, but you can see in the Hebrew there, it says to walk with speed, or to speedily move forward. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech thee that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. We know that Paul is not talking about doing something slow, but doing something very fast and with great vigor. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good word, and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. If we walk or run and are not weary, then we shall not faint. We are very diligent in our work, and that breath will not be taken from us. This aspect of the word not faint is from weariness or from flight. So again, going back to the wings that have been renewed over and over again, that are now mounted up or lifted up above this earth. Psalms 27:13 says, unless I had believed, I shall not faint. Or contrarily, if you did not believe, you shall faint, you shall lose that breath. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that man ought always to pray and not faint. So again, if we're putting God first, then we shall, in waiting upon him, we shall not faint. We shall not faint unless we receive mercy. Or if we receive mercy, we shall not faint. 2 Chronicles 4:15-16. The outward perish, but the inward is renewed by grace. For the inward is renewed by God, and that is our hope. Galatians 6:9. We shall reap if we not faint. We keep up the work. We do not falter from it. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore lay aside every weight that ye not faint, or that breath be taken away from you, because you turn to the things of the world rather than the things of the Spirit. Revelation 2:2-3. I know works, labor, patience, wait, patience. I know works, labor, and patience wait. For patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. So again, it is not for our sake, but for God's name's sake that all this that we do. So if this had worked in animated form, it would say, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, and if we are not weary, or we shall not faint, we shall be renewed. So the beginning of Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel or not wait, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If ye had reasoned with the Lord first before consulting the serpent again the second time, if she had waited upon the Lord rather than turning back to the serpent who had proposed the desire before her, her trust, her faith, hope, if her faith, hope, and love, her trust, had been in God and in the right place, then she may have been able to pass that tree of knowledge and good and evil, take that tree of life. And so that is the challenge to all of us. Which path shall we take? The path which leadeth unto the flesh and of knowledge and good and evil, or the path which leadeth unto trust and that tree of life. So let us wait upon the Lord that we may be renewed forever. Isaiah 17:7 says, at that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect for the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is the hope that is laid before us in our calling to one another, to strengthen one another, that we may all be healed from this disease of the flesh. Psalms 103:1-5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth all your iniquities, who healeth all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with a loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like he feels.
Thank you, Brother Jason. Let us all practice that active waiting on the Lord, which I think our English does encourage us to do. Let us conclude this evening's service by singing together hymn 230, after which we'll ask Brother Al Parker to dismiss us with prayer. Father, we thy children bless thee, for thy love on us bestow. As our Father, we address thee, called to be the sons of God. Hymn 230.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy great and holy name. Father, we thank thee for all thy blessings. We thank thee for bringing us here this evening to meet together, to hear the word spoken that might strengthen and refresh us. We thank thee for bringing us to this Bible school. Thank thee for making it possible that we might be refreshed. Be with us as we gather here. Be with those who are still on their way to join us. Be with us all through this coming week. Thank thee, Father, for the blessing of thy Son, the promise that he held out for us, the promise of thy kingdom, which we pray will soon come. And look forward to that day, Father. Help us, guide us, strengthen us, and precious renew us for that time, so that we all might be unacceptable. Be with us this evening as we go to our rest. Might we be strengthened and better able to hear more words of thy truth in the coming days. We ask these things, Father, give thee all thanks and praise through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.